أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will look at the tafsir of Surah Al-Ikhlas. This Surah, Al-Ikhlas, means the sincerity. This Surah clarifies Tawheed and conveys that Allah is free from any flaws and any association of partners with Him. And because of believing in the message of this Surah, a person is protected from shirk and eternal punishment in the hereafter. There are other names for this surah. It is also called Surah Tawheed, Surah An-Nijat, Surah Al-Wilaya, Surah Al-Ma'rifah, and Surah Al-Asas. When the Arabs loved something, they would give it many names. Therefore, this surah has many names. Regarding the virtues of this surah, we will learn from some narrations regarding its virtues. In Bukhari, it is mentioned that Prophet Muhammad sent a battalion. When they returned, they said, "The leader who led us, whenever he led the salah, at end of every recitation of surah, he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas." The Prophet ﷺ asked him why he did that. Upon asking, the companion said, "This surah describes the attributes of Allah, and I love to recite it." The Prophet ﷺ gave news to this leader that Allah too loved him because he loved this surah. In another narration recorded also in Al-Bukhari, one Ansari, who was an imam of a masjid of Quba, as a habit, after reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in Salah, he would recite Surah Al-Ikhlas and then recited a different surah or a portion of a surah from the Quran. But he always recited Surah Al-Ikhlas before reciting a different surah. One day, the followers in Salah asked why he recited Al-Ikhlas first, then another surah, and said either he should recite only Surah Al-Ikhlas or a different surah in the salah. This was very hard on him. He knew the virtues of the surah and didn't like for those who prayed to be uncomfortable or disliking what he was doing. So one day when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, the people complained to him. The Prophet ﷺ asked the Imam why he recited this surah in every salah, in every raqah. He said, "O Prophet of Allah, I love this surah greatly." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Love of this surah entered you in Jannah," meaning because of the love for this surah, he entered Jannah, not he will enter it, but entered it already. In another narration in Tirmidhi Ahmad, someone said to the Prophet ﷺ that I love this surah. The Prophet ﷺ said, "This love for this surah entered you in Jannah." Once a person heard someone recite this surah at night, and he would recite it again and again. The person mentioned this to the Prophet ﷺ while considering it earning a little reward, as some people only have this surah memorized and others consider it a small deed. Prophet ﷺ said, "I swear by the one in whose hand is my life, this surah is equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran." It is narrated in Al-Bukhari. In another narration, it is also recorded in Al-Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, "Is it not so that in one night you can recite 1/3 of the Quran, which is equivalent to 10 juz?" The companions found it hard and said, "Who has the ability to recite so much?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "You should recite Qul Huwallahu Ahad. This is equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran." Therefore, it should be recited before going to sleep. In Musnad Ahmad, it is mentioned that Qatada bin Nauman recited this surah the entire night. When he mentioned this to the Prophet ﷺ, he said this is either equivalent to one half or one third of the entire Quran. This is also recorded. Once the Prophet ﷺ was going somewhere and Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was with him, he heard someone recite this surah and said it became wajib, meaning at the level of obligatory. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, what became wajib or obligatory? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said Jannah became wajib. In another narration of Musnad Ahmad, Abdullah bin Habib said, we were thirsty and the night was dark, and we were waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come and lead us in prayer. He came and took my hand and said, read or say. I was silent. Then again he said, then I asked, what should I read? The Prophet ﷺ said, every morning and evening, read three times, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, meaning قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ and الْمُوَدَّتَيْنِ. This will be sufficient for you. But sufficient in what? It means they will suffice you against everything. In another narration recorded in Musnad Ahmad, it is recorded that whoever recites this surah 10 times in a day, Allah will build a palace for this person in Jannah. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Prophet of Allah, then we can build many palaces in Jannah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah is more and better in giving than this. Allah doesn't care how much he gives. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three things if one does with complete faith, he will be able to enter Jannah from any of the doors of Jannah, and he will be wed with whichever woman of Jannah he wills. The first one is who forgives his killer. Second is one who pays off debts in secrecy. The third is one who recites this surah 10 times after every fard salah. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, what if someone does only one from these three things? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, even upon doer of one earns the same rank. So reciting this surah 10 times after every fard salah has great virtue. In another narration, it is mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ took the hand of Uqba and said, shall I not tell you of the best surahs from all the surahs in Tawrah, Al-Anjil, and Zabur, and the Quran? He said, O Prophet, please tell us. The Prophet ﷺ then recited, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, then said, O Uqba, do not forget them. Recite them every night. Then Uqba said, after this, I never forgot them and never slept without reciting them before sleeping. Therefore, these surahs should be especially recited at night. And one can pray after Fard Salah. In Bukhari, it is also mentioned by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to bed at night, he would recite these three surahs and would join both palms and blow on them, and then would wipe over all over his body, wherever his hands could reach. First, he would begin with his head, then the face, and then the front part of his body. So at the time of reciting these surahs, have to join both hands and blow on them, and then wipe over the entire body. Then after Fard Salah, if one can recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 10 times, that is good. Otherwise, should at least recite these surahs 3 times. Also, when the Prophet ﷺ informed the virtues of Surah Al-Ikhlas being equivalent to recitation of 1/3 of the Quran, and if do it 3 times, then will be covered this way. In addition, when recited 3 times in the morning and the evening, that will be sufficient against everything. In the morning, we do not need to wipe our body, but should recite them 3 times. At night, we should wipe over our body after blowing on our hands 3 times. So this surah is sufficient for everything, meaning sufficient to save a person from everything that is evil. It is sufficient from saving someone from every difficulty. It is sufficient for ease in hardship. When was this surah revealed? Some idolaters came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Tell us about your Rabb, your Lord. Who is your Rabb you worship?" As we learn in Surah Al-Kafirun, "La abidu ma ta'budun, wa la antum abiduna ma abud." The one I worship, you do not worship. So who do you worship? Tell us. What is he made of? Is he made of gold, silver? As they thought about their idols they worshipped, which were either made of gold or silver or something else. Na'udhu billah. So they wondered if the Muslim's ilah was the same. In another narration, it is mentioned that a group of people came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "Tell us the lineage of your Lord," because for them lineage was important and well known by them, which today people do not have knowledge about. They kept a record of their lineage, even knew it by memory. They even knew the lineage of their horses. So they came and na'udhu billah said, "Tell us the lineage of your God." Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah. And in this surah, there is recognition of Allah. An introduction is given of who He is. And if anyone wants to convey who is Allah and what is His majesty, then can recite and explain this surah. Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered people and said, "Soon I will recite to you 1/3 of the Quran." Then people gathered, and the Prophet ﷺ came amidst them and recited "Kul huwallahu ahad." Then he left. Some people thought that perhaps he received news from the heavens. This is why he left. No sooner the Prophet ﷺ returned and said, "I had said to you, I will recite 1/3 of the Quran. So listen. This surah is equivalent to 1/3 of the Quran, so we can gain so much reward from reciting this surah." We will look at this surah. "Qul, O Prophet, say to them, O Prophet, tell them about Allah and tell them about Tawheed. Qul huwallahu ahad, that He is ahad. Say to them, Allah is one." Although the word in Arabic for one is wahid, there is a difference in ahad and wahid. In Arabic, every letter has a meaning. So cannot say that both ahad and wahid have the same meaning. Wahid is for one. But after that, it can be ithnain or even thalatha, 2 or 3. But when we say ahad, it means unique. This is the closest meaning in English. No matter how much we go in depth of this surah, we cannot truly know Allah. Our limited intellect cannot understand His attributes completely. Just as when we say Allah is al-hayy, always all living. So when we imagine living, we look at our living, where we need to eat and drink and have other needs. And then there is the end. And how Allah is ever living and was and will be, how He is, we cannot truly understand. Then how He is Al-Qayyum. Shaitan may whisper that there must be a beginning. No, He was always there. We cannot understand. He was not born, nor He begot anyone. He did not have any father, nor any son. How can we understand this truly? We are endowed with a limited intellect and live in a limited universe. We cannot even understand anything beyond our realm. How can we understand even all His creation, let alone His being? When we are told about Jannah, we cannot even imagine it. We can possibly think of a beautiful scenery from a calendar at best, or remember a beautiful place we may have visited. We think of trees or a mansion, but we cannot comprehend the reality of Jannah, how the fruits of Jannah will be, how its trees will be, and how will be its shades. That if a writer was to write his verse for 100 years, its shade would not end. Can we imagine it? Or what is Sidratul Muntaha? Can we imagine that? What about an angel of Allah who has 600 wings? Can we imagine that? And when we learn that the entire horizon was covered up by its 2 wings, can we imagine this? We cannot even truly understand His creation. And He is beyond, way beyond His creation. He is free from direction, having a form, or being restricted to time or place. Who He really is, we cannot understand. Therefore, upon this surah, we say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey as it was said, but cannot truly comprehend. Therefore, this surah has great virtue, because what is said in this surah is a big matter. Tawheed is explained. This is a recognition of Allah, whether we truly understand it or not. We recite it, and this surah has great virtue. We do not understand the reward of its reciters. It is that Jannah became obligatory for one who recites it. Yes, we should recite other surahs of the Quran as well, but include this surah in recitation. This is a noble surah because this surah has an introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can only realize this much. Therefore, we cannot truly understand the being of Allah, nor His attributes completely. For example, when we hear His name and attribute As-Sami', we just understand as one who hears. We too have a limited capacity to hear. But how is His listening while He is upon His throne? He can even hear the talk of every ant. How He hears, we do not know. He hears everyone and everything. We cannot know. And He hears everyone without mixing up their voices. He can hear the inner voices of the heart, which are thoughts. That too is a voice which He hears. How, when no one even says a word, He hears? How does that happen? We cannot know. وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. We say kulli, all and every, because we cannot know what else He has control and power over. So only suffice in saying He is all able over everything, because we cannot truly understand. Some people feel honor in being a servant of Allah, as some feel pride in being secretary for a president. than someone is a servant of Allah. This is more honorable. And then there is humility of someone who leaves Allah and bows and worships to others besides Allah. Those who worship others than Allah only lower themselves. Allah is beyond the need of anyone. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say Allah is alone, and there is no one like him. When we say Allah is alone, it means there is no other. Well, when we say one, it means there could be second and third. So in this is his uniqueness, and no one is like him, and he is alone. Also in this is that he is not made with any juz or part or component or ingredient. He is free from all matter, because he has created all material and matter. While if we look at a table, we can say it is wahid, one, but it is made of many components. There is wood in its construction and use of other materials. It is wahid, not ahad. So those who came to ask if he was made of gold or silver, no, tell them he is ahad. So Allah is ahad. Also, those who say there is no God, there is a God, and he is one and alone. This is a response to them. This is Tawheed regarding the existence of Allah, and he is alone himself. We also see that in this ayah, the Prophet ﷺ conveyed each word as it was sent. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say from himself, "Hu Allahu Ahad," that Allah is one. When Jibreel alayhi salam said, "Qul Hu Allahu Ahad," this is how the Prophet ﷺ conveyed it. This is proof of the Prophet ﷺ conveying the ayat of the Quran as they were revealed, and he did not even change one word. Allahu Samad. Allah is Samad. This is one word that cannot be translated accurately. There are many meanings of this word. Samad is for one the entire creation is dependent upon, but he is not dependent or in need of anyone. All are in need of him. We can say he is self-sufficient. Samad is also for Lord, who is at the peak of lordship. And when anyone wants to ask from, will only ask from him. He is one called upon alone at time of hardship or difficulty. One people turn to for their wants and needs. And he is not comparable to anyone in his lordship. And there is no one above him. As-Samad is also for one who is the creator of everything. As-Samad is also for whatever he wills and wants, he does it. He can fulfill his every intent, and there is no one to countervail or nullify any of his commands. Also, when we say Allahu Samad, it's a big statement. And As-Samad is one who is rich and free of needs or any dependency. As-Samad is also one who eternally remains and everything else perishes and has an end. He is one upon whom no difficulty or hardship can come. And he is complete in his attributes. He is always victorious, dominant, and never conquered. And he is above and free from all flaws. He is not restricted to any time or place. There are many meanings of As-Samad. These meanings are from explanations given by the Mufassireen, and some are from things of the companions and the Tabaeens. He is one who does not need to eat nor expels anything. And he is ever living and guards everything. there is no decline in his being. Samad is also for something solid, not hollow. He is strong. Samad is also the Nur, the light that is full of radiance. And he is one who is most superior in wisdom, in his knowledge, in his lordship, in his greatness. In Ahad we learn there is no one like him, and he is alone. And we also learn in As-Samad that there is no one like him. He is Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Antum fuqara'a ila Allah. You are all poor. Wallahu ghaniyyun hamid. And Allah is rich and most praiseworthy. All are in need of him, and he doesn't need anyone. This is why we say he is self-sufficient. Every creation in the universe turns to him for their every need. Either if it is health, life, children, breathing, even a nail or shoelace, we are dependent on him for every need. And he does not need anyone's worship of him, nor in need of anyone's prostrations to him, nor in need of anyone's tasbih. So he is Allah, As-Samad. His greatness and his majesty is described in this one word. It is also said that meanings of all Asma al-Husna are in this one word, As-Samad, Subhanallah. Then after knowing this, can anyone else besides him be called onto to fulfill a need? Who can fulfill all the needs of the creation besides him? Only Allah is As-Samad. He is the one. There is no other remover of difficulties and hardships or fulfiller of needs. Then how can anyone call others with the names such as Data or go to the graves of certain people and say that they remove their difficulty? There is no other than him who is As-Samad. If anyone ascribes this attribute to anyone other than Allah, then they commit shirk. While this is a very common practice in some countries, where the deceased are called such as Ghaseh-Azam, the great fulfiller of needs, these are words of shirk, saying in ordinary words. We can ask help from people, but those we seek help from cannot consider them someone who removes our difficulties or fulfills our needs, or think they can get us a job or cure us. No, we should know and firmly believe that it is only Allah who gives shifa and cures illnesses. Only Allah is one who can bestow a child. Only Allah can fulfill our needs of livelihood and sustenance. If it is not the will, the izn of Allah, then no one else can do anything for us, no matter if it is a president in this world, or a senator, or a governor, or CEO of a company. They cannot do anything. Only Allah can take care of all our affairs. If Allah doesn't do it, then there is no one else. We must believe with conviction. We say Allahu Samad so many times, not realizing the greatness of Allah. After saying Allahu Samad, some run to graves and tie threads to fulfill their needs, or say to the doctors that only they could cure them or save them, or say if it was not for the medication or the doctor, they would not be saved or alive. We are sayers of Allahu Samad, then how can we say those things? Surah Al-Ikhlas is pure Tawheed. It teaches us that other than Allah, there is no other to fulfill our needs. As-Samad has Tawheed in action, because one has to ask him to get what they want. And in the ayah of Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad was Tawheed of Allah's being, which is called Tawheed-e-Wujudi. and in Allahu Samad, Istauhide Amali, we learn to only bow to him, to venerate him, and to worship him alone, and to turn to him for needs and wants. And whoever turns to Allah for their needs will also worship and submit to him alone. Only because people turn to others for their need, they bow to them. Why? Because they think this is where their needs will be fulfilled, and this one will give him something, or the problem will be solved. While no one else can bestow anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here with Allahu Samad, shirk is cut off because only Allah is As-Samad. Lam Yalid, he did not beget a child. This is Tawheed regarding the being of Allah. As the Yahud would say, Uzair is son of Allah. And the Christians say, Isa is the son of Allah. Na'udhu billah. And the idolaters, the mushrikeen, would say, the angels are daughters of Allah. He has no child. Walam yulad, and nor is he begotten. He is not a child of anyone, meaning he has no father. Even if Christians say that Isa is not a biological son of Allah, but for honor and respect is called his son, this is ascribing a fault, a weakness to Allah. And this is cursing Allah. As in one hadith it is mentioned, Hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, It does not suit son of Adam that he belies me, and it does not suit him that he curses me. What is belying or denying of son of Adam? He denies that Allah can bring mankind back to life again. And his cursing me is saying that he has taken a son, while I am As-Samad. This is in Bukhari. Ascribing a son unto Allah is equivalent to cursing him. Na'udhu billah. Ascribing a son or a child to Allah is ascribing a flaw to Allah, which does not suit his majesty. If anyone wrongfully attributes a son to him, as we see many instances in history where a son kills a father to take control over the throne. This happened at the time of the Mughals, and in another country today whose king had killed his father for the throne. What do we think? That there is a king of the universe, and if he had a son? This universe is in existence for hundreds of centuries. Wouldn't the son want to remove the king and take control himself? These concepts of a god having a son does not even appeal to senses. And in the world, we see father and son have the same form, as man fathers a child like himself. Then how can a god have a child who is human? How can human be a child for a god? It should be in the same form. This is talk of ignorance, and there is no logic in this. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there was not, is not, nor will be anyone comparable to him. There is no one who can compare to him. As they would say, there is one God and he has partners. The idolaters or the mushrikeen of Makkah would say this. So this is a rejection to their claim. No, there is no one like him. Laysa kamithlihi shay'un. He is ahad, he is unique. There is no one like him. If anyone thinks, for example, that there is one God and then another God, if one God wills for it to rain, then the other does not want it to rain, what would happen? There will be a fight or dispute between them. If someone says no, they won't fight because they are God and decide together. What if one decrees for someone to have a son and then the other decrees for a girl? So they can decide together. Who will be listened to? God is one who does as he wills. One will have to submit to the other. then how can the one who submits be a god? Cannot be God. Only one who is on top is God. We learn that there is no logic in ascribing partners or having a concept of multiple gods. In the world, there is someone dying, coming into the world. Nations are rising and falling. System of the sun and the moon is running smoothly. So many other systems are working. All the systems are working in harmony under one God. Therefore, they are in existence. If they were separate gods, they would have their own system and impose their own rules. The way the systems work in harmony proves that there is only one creator and master. There is only one who is maintaining the universe. We see how the sun only rises and sets from the same place, and the sun and the stars are working in their one system, and the planets are also working in their one system. Mankind is born and they die with their system. So there is one God who has created and is maintaining the universe. If one day one creation was following one method or system, and then the next day another, then one could think that there is another God. But that is not the case. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, and there is no one comparable to him. The word shirk is shirk fizzat. This too is refuted. There is no one like him, hence cannot have a child. Today there is another form of shirk. Some say that Allah has taken the form of this universe, na'udhu billah, saying the universe is God. This is shirk. No, Allahu Samad, he is a being and cannot say he has adopted this or that form. The Prophet ﷺ was extremely careful. Sometimes Muslims commit shirk in their nasheeds for the Prophet ﷺ, calling him Sami, Basir, and Khabir. And it is hard to ascertain who are they talking about, Allah or the Prophet ﷺ. While Allah says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ, there is no one like him. How can they elevate the Prophet ﷺ so much that hold him equal to Allah? Na'udhu billah. The attributes of Allah are used for the Prophet ﷺ. Only Allah is As-Samad, not the Prophet ﷺ. This is one form of shirk that has entered in the Muslims. They think the Prophet ﷺ is one to answer to their pleas and say words of shirk in praising him. How can a Muslim reciting Kul Huwallahu Ahad say these things? Once a companion said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ma sha Allah wa ma yashit, what Allah will and what you will. While the companions would never do shirk with Allah, but in the words there was a similarity. So immediately the Prophet ﷺ said, have you equaled me with Allah? And said, only say, Ma sha Allah. The Prophet ﷺ was so careful. Then another man came and said, you are a bestower. The Prophet ﷺ immediately said, no, only Allah is the bestower. I am Al-Qasim, one who distributes. We have to be careful in use of words. Sometimes in carelessness we do shirk. The summary of the entire Surah Al-Ikhlas is that Allah is Ahad, alone and unique. This rejects the concept that there is a Father, Son, a Holy Ghost, or Father, Mary, or Jesus. No, Allah is alone and one. All place their needs and turn to Him. So all forms of idol worship, grave worship, all are rejected in Allahu Samad. If people would understand this surah, they would not commit shirk. This is why it is equivalent to one third of the Quran. Number 3, he has no father nor any son. This rejects all claims made by the Jews and Christians and Mushrikeen of Makkah. Then there is no one comparable to him. So those who considered idols as his partners, their claim is also rejected. This surah rejects all forms of shirk. The companions understood the meanings and depth of this surah, therefore loved it. Mostly people like this surah today because it is the shortest surah to recite in Salah. Also, those who say the Prophet ﷺ is the Nur from the Nur of Allah and have made various durus such as Durud Tanjina or Durud Daj. Allah is Samad and there is no one like him, then how can the Prophet ﷺ be like him? This is wrongfully written in some books of Adhkar. This is shirk, and there is no forgiveness for shirk, while Allah will forgive any other sins besides shirk for whomever He wills. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa that He will not forgive shirk. We must save ourselves from all forms of shirk. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Please listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.